200 podcasts, exhausting just to think about. How can we face 200 podcasts? The thought of all those podcasts makes me weak. Please be seated. Welcome to episode 200 of the Game Cola podcast. As always, I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin, and today I am joined by...
I'm Blue Rider, and there's no joke to work off of there.
And James Pelster, and since Blue didn't do a joke, I won't do one either.
That's hilarious. So welcome to...
You didn't do the Dunderhead.
Well, no, that happens later. You're giving spoilers, Blue.
Jeez.
But it was important.
But in that, Blue knowing spoilers about the future, we can explain the context of what's happening. Because for you, this is the beginning of podcast 200.
But we have time travel.
Yes, we have done. We come
from the future where podcast 200 has already happened.
So I made a little tiny bit of a blunder. The good news is that 20 hours of the 24-hour live stream episode 200 podcast exists. And you know what? 220-200, maybe that even aligns a little bit more. Of course, this is supposed to be the 24th anniversary of Game Cola. The way we did, there's a lot of things we could talk about in the Discord if you want. It's not that big of a not worth going into the details, but we ended up losing the first 4 hours of the live stream. But we were able to recover using the power of the YouTube chat still being available and copyable. And our very podcast graphic memories.
Audiographic.
to write down as much as we could remember of what happened during those first 4 hours. And then also, there were some conversations in the Discord as we were recording, and we've compiled all of those into what I think will eventually be a PDF that will be available through the website somehow. But that's not as important, because my goal here is to make the content contained in this document accessible through the main way that you consume the podcast. So if you're listening, we will be talking through it. If you'll be watching, I will be putting together a video that will display some of the content that we are going over, just as you might have seen it on the actual live stream. So you'll be getting basically the same experience you would get otherwise. And yeah, so that's the context. Thank you for bearing with us as we sort of pivot, maybe going straight from a maximum of like 4 or 5 hours of podcast all the way to 24 at once was not the most well thought out idea, but I think we're going to be able to make it work. And thank you to Blue and James, people who were involved in these first 4 hours, for joining us on this to hopefully give you a good recap of what happened and maybe touch on some of the topics that we talked about originally before. Again, to give you some of that same information. How does that sound? Did I explain everything all right, you think?
I was there.
Yeah, just to clarify as well, after this sort of summary, there's also going to be future podcasts, which are basically just broken up, probably slightly edited down.
We're the future podcasts.
Yeah, we're going to break that down.
I'm going to cover that more once we get to the end of this segment, but this segment is going to be covering what was the first 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So starting out with the opening ceremonies. So this was how we started, and we opened up with Blue, myself, Paul, Nathaniel, and Anna. Though, James, when did you start hopping on?
Because you were in the chat. I hopped into the chat sometime during the newsletter hour. I think about halfway through the newsletter hour, because the podcast started I was still at work. I was working a closing shift at work that day. And so it started, so I'm in Pacific time. The podcast started in Eastern time. So it started about, mm-hmm. I think, it started about an hour before Yeah, it started at 9 o'clock p.m. my time, and I finished work at about 10 or 10:30. So I, as I was getting into my car to drive home, I turned on the podcast, just kind of stuck it, you know, connected it to Bluetooth. But I made a post or two, I think, in the parking lot at work, and then I think a couple posts when I got back home, just kind of sitting in my car, just listening to the live stream.
Yeah, because I think I'm reading through the document right now, and it says that I welcome the people in attendance, including James Pelser. So I think you may have left a quick comment early on.
Yeah.
And then I also welcomed Sailor Moon Girl 412, for which Anna Bernarski clarified that that was, in fact, Anna Bernarski. and yeah, I think I remember that being, and I'm sure I said this at the time too, that when that was said, I realized that that was something that I think maybe I had known, or a different version of that username I'd known been associated with Anna. And also Anna reminded me that the profile picture, which I'm going to say was particularly small, but is in fact a picture of Anna Bernarski.
It is a minuscule picture though.
Yeah. And Anna says that originally it was not the Sailor Moon. I think, you know, YouTube has like your account name and then like your public name. And I think at one point YouTube changed Anna's according to what was said in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
It was changed, or maybe on the podcast. I don't remember. It was one of those two things. We also got very early on, as I was going through and sort of explaining the thing that I already, some of the things that I explained at the beginning of this recording, we had Watch McLeod 5873, presumably a Nathaniel fan, because they started talking about Nathaniel and then asked for some article recommendations as we were giving sort of a spiel about what Game Cola is. I think that's more important for a live stream audience than perhaps people listening to this now after the fact. I'm going to assume you have a rough idea of what Game Cola is at this point, a video game website and YouTube channel with podcasts. So we started talking about some articles. Nathaniel recommended his review of Mega Man 10, assuming this fan was a Mega Man fan. In fact, they asked, are there any about Mega Man? Mega Man 7? Question mark. And then there Nathaniel are. Talked. And
I don't Nathaniel know if you know this.
Nathaniel talked about how his review of Mega Man 10 is actually fairly negative, to which Watch McLeod replied, sounds like me. I wasn't a fan of 10. Paul Franzen, editor emeritus of Game Cola, who was so nice to join, and I'm so sorry that it's pretty much, I think all of his sections are lost to time, though I will hedge that I think a lot of what we end up talking with Paul about, a lot of the topics that we talk about with Paul are also covered in one of the other anniversaries. I think it's entitled The Paul and Jetty Show, where Paul and Jetty, in honor of one of the earlier, and I think maybe the 22nd anniversary, talk about sort of the history of Game Cola. So if you have an inkling for that, I would definitely recommend listening to that at some point. But Paul here suggests impaired closed captioning, which is a fantastic suggestion. It is one of my favorite articles. I mean, had you guys seen this article before?
That was actually one I had not heard of before it was mentioned.
I had not either, but I do remember 15, 20 years ago. Well, I guess not quite 20 years ago, but yeah, 15 years ago, going in and looking at all of the terrible, terrible closed captioning. It was not good.
Yeah, so Nathaniel wrote, there was one main article. There may have been a follow-up, but there was this sweet spot in Google's YouTube video automatic transcription where it was present, but it was just awful. It was barely even a little bit related to what people were saying. So like some of them were fun, like this picture of Luigi and one of the tree levels of Super Mario Brothers 2, and it says there's a bunch of orange.
I mean, that's not an incorrect statement.
It's not incorrect, but it was not what was said. the ending screen of Super Mario Brothers 2, there is a taxi history. Look at it. I don't even know what game this is. These were images that were posted in Discord.
This is definitely like a port of a DS game based on the screen.
Yeah.
Layout.
Oh yeah. The text says Bobby's World will be asking for it. Like asking for
he's
it,
asking
requesting
for
it, or yeah, that was also the other interpretation. So that's definitely a good article. If you're in the market for an old Game Cola article, I think that's a good option. Blue, you also talked about This Yard Has Sailed.
Yeah, that's one of my personal favorite series. So when we were talking about ones that we liked, that was one I brought up. I think we all brought up Be Careful What You Wish For as well.
Be Careful What You Search For.
Search For, yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's the series where Terrence Atkins takes you can go into the sort of WordPress GUI of Game Cola and see what things people search for that made them arrive at Game Cola. And then Terrence draws these pictures based off of them. Or sometimes we do some more collaborative or have other staff members draw pictures in MS Paint or some similar equivalent. And those are always pretty good because it's like, there are some wild things. And also if you click, this is a secret that you may not know. I think it's if you click on the image, it should take you to the article that person landed on based on their search. At least in some of them, there's a component like that, which is always an additional funny moment of trying to figure out how that phrase got them. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes you're like, I guess this was such a weird phrase that there's basically the loosest of connections will rise to the top. do you remember or do you have things that you would say about This Yard Has Sailed as being one of your favorites?
No, I didn't get to talk about it much. We moved on pretty quickly after that, I believe.
I think we talked on a recorded portion of the podcast further, because yeah. Matt Breslow, yeah. Spoiler alert, actually joins in at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another thing, is that some of the things that we'll be talking about for this recap will be referenced later, too, so you'll get a sense of it.
You have to forgive us for recycling some content on a podcast that's 22 hours longer than a typical podcast.
So then we hit I can time some of these out. I can tell you like exactly how far we've gotten through. So we're up to the first half hour of the podcast right now.
Woo.
Because there was a comment that Paul left at this time that said 23.5 hours left. Let's go. So cross-referencing things people said and also some of the Discord messages that all have timestamps, I could kind of figure out the sort of pace of the content. So we've covered the first half hour now. Then shortly after, we bring up, I think, the sort of history of taglines, and I say something to the effect of Jetty came up with gaming outside the mainstream. And then I also bring up that for a later section, I'm going to need some more trivia questions for a later hour that we'll talk about once I'll give you the whole lowdown of the rest of the what's on the docket for the future episodes or future editions of episode 200. I don't know. You get the idea. But shortly after, Paul writes in the Discord, Jetty did not invent that phrase. Fact check. And then after I say I want a trivia question, he puts in quotes, who invented the phrase gaming outside the mainstream? I think you can perhaps guess who invented the phrase.
And we just might have. Check back in the trivia.
Then the discussion turns to, I guess, a history of social media interactions or something that goes to Paul and Anna tweeting the word, not just like tweeting the word potato at each other, which is what I've written down here.
It is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It's close to that. But it's more tweets that contain the word potato to each other and looking at the history of that. This is around the era of 2017. There's an example Let's see. Some of the examples include Paul having dibs on Potato. So Anna has a potato dating sim that has been very softly in the works for a very long time. Mash Maker. You've heard us talk about this on the podcast before. But it is an idea very near and dear to my heart. There are several tweets of me volunteering puns to put in Mash Maker. Like, eye to eye is the one that I go back to a lot. What I have written here is, Paul has dibs on Potato despite Anna's father's plans about her career. which I think is probably about as much context as you actually got on the podcast anyway. And there's one tweet that was posted in the Discord where Anna says, I have no idea. Oh, no, here. This is the context for the dad bit. I have no idea what I want to do in life. My dad is really pushing for business, which is a good idea, but ...IDK. That is the dream. And then Paul writes, I have dibs on Potato, in all caps. Assumably the potato game. This lets us go into talking about Paul and Michael's work with Oarock Studios. So, you know, games like the Cat President series. We talk about the fun that we've had in participating in some of the games, like Cat President, and the fact, and Too Many Santas. Nathaniel talks about how it's fun to use on social media, social games.
Two truths and a lie.
Yeah, two truths and a lie. That he has an IMDb page because of his work with Oarock Studios games. Is he in more games than just Too Many Santas? I know he's prominently featured in Too Many Santas. But I can't remember off the top of my head if he's featured.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I know, like, Diana features very heavily in Internet Court. Paul and Michael feature Blue, You're in Cat President.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
I didn't say this on the podcast. I did make content for Cat President 3, but I haven't had a chance to go in and see if I'm actually still in the video game. which would be very funny, because that would, if I'm not in the video game, I'm not on the IMDb page. if I'm not in the video, which that could just be a fluke. But it would be funny that stuff that I had made for Cat President had twice been actually removed from the video game later.
That would be so sad.
Because in the first one, I think I actually am in the special features of the first one. I play a song on the ukulele that I think didn't end up making it into the game proper, but might have been a bonus feature. I can't quite remember.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm like 99% sure I'm still in the game.
I'm pretty sure you're still in the game.
Yeah.
In what capacity?
Spoiler.
What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a spoiler.
Fair enough.
If anybody finds me in Cat President 3, please tell me. Or at some point I'll find time to go through it. Or watch there've been live stream playthroughs, but none of them have been like recorded. So, that's since the last time I checked at least. So I want to go in and see, at some point. But I mean, no hard feelings either way. I understand like the there's a lot of work to put this all together.
Yeah. That's a big project.
Both being able to say I was in Cat President 3 and twice I tried to be in a Cat President game and didn't end up making it. Both of those are equally funny things to say. So it works out for me anyway, either way. Let's see. There's some professional actors that have participated in Oarock games. And so like Pizza Delivery Boys Saved the World. Victoria Buckley. People like that can also find the IMDb references actually practically beneficial. At some point someone posts Blue's IMDb page.
That was the moment I learned that I have an IMDb page, which I did not know until that moment.
Yeah.
Discovered that live.
That was at 49 minutes into the podcast. And then, so the next thing I have is starting the next hour, which is the newsletter hour, which I labeled as dive into the history of Game Cola as it got its beginnings as a newsletter. It looks like we still have the same cast: Blue Rider, Joseph Martin, Paul Franzen, Nathaniel Hoover, Anna Bernarski. It is 1 a.m. Eastern time. Do your conversions appropriately. And so I very specifically wanted to sort of talk to Paul about the newsletter times of Game Cola. The beginning of Game Cola, which I think Paul has talked about in a few different places. It was good context for this bit of the podcast, but I think, again, the Paul and Jetty Show and a couple other podcasts, Paul goes through some of this. But basically, Paul talks about being inspired by his brother's newsletter at the time, which I should have written down what it was called, but it was a movie-based newsletter, I believe, that then led to Paul making a video game-based one. Does that track with people's memory?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then Paul posts an image of what I think is a screenshot of a Wayback Machine version of the first newsletter with Game Cola, Volume 1, Issue 1, March/April 2002, Quenching Your Thirst for Video Entertainment. And is that what symbol is that? It's a copyright symbol?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can copyright that, Paul. I don't know if that's how that works.
We tried it.
Now serving 12 subscribers is what it says.
That's pretty good for first issue.
Yeah. Table of contents, introduction, NHL Hockey 94, Super Nintendo. Number 3, your 10 favorite video games. Number 4, Philly Classic 3 Report. Number 5, top 10 video games of 1994. Number 6, web page of the bi-month.
Yeah, we didn't quite have our winning formulas ready. Like, your 10 favorite games are terrifying.
That was... I still... that's an era of, like, things you did on the internet in that sort of time span, which was websites that would just... You know, before search engines had completely taken off, and so you would find other websites by seeing them linked from websites you already knew about. So you would just kind of follow chains. And that was why bookmarks were so important, is because like you would
if you forgot the URL, you were just
screwed. You had nothing. So that's honestly, and like in a very small capacity at least, it's been sort of making a resurgence for people who are trying to like de-algorithmize the their local internet. And sort of being like, hey, any of you guys who are here, just let me, you know, let's do this again. Let's start linking, you know, let's start cross-linking each other, you know, cool websites.
Well, I think we'll get to that, my thoughts on that a little bit further into this section. But going through, I asked Paul about how he came up with the name Game Cola. He says that he thinks this is a very uninteresting story, that he was just looking around the room and looked at his recycling can and became inspired, right? So he already, I think, something to the effect of, he already had the word game in his mind. He looked at it, you know, a cola can in his recycling and thought, Game Cola. I say that I think that he still landed on some, like, good quality of that. There could have been other things he looked at a room and said. That the G, I start going on a bit about how the G and the C are the same fundamental sound. One is voiced and the other is I think I said that the other is aspirated. I don't think that's actually quite right. Which Anna probably is why Anna would say that there's be really helpful to have someone with a degree in speech therapy right about now for this discussion. And if you don't know, Anna does in fact have a degree in speech therapy. And I wrote here, Anna confirms the broad strokes of what Joe was saying about G and C. That perhaps is maybe a little generous. Anna can confirm or deny my claim there. And then I say that even if the story, if Paul thinks the story sounds mundane, I think Paul was hitting on like a true core of intuition that Game Cola is a good name, which I think it is a good name. It feels simple but straightforward and it carries a lot of the weight of what it is. Like you hear someone say, "Oh yes, Game Cola," and you already have a sort of flavor. Is that I was about to say pun not intended. I don't even know if that's really a pun. It's just like a very loose association. You have a flavor of, you're primed for the explanation of what Game Cola is. I don't think you get everything about Game Cola in just those two words. But I also appreciate that it's simple. It's not like a paragraph. That time I went on a video game website and read a review that was kind of funny about an older video game. Could have named it that, and I don't think that would have been nearly as catchy.
You're not wrong.
I then asked Nathaniel whether the site was still in the newsletter format when Nathaniel first joined. Nathaniel says that it was right before the transition from the monthly to daily structure of the website. So early on, the website used to collect all of the articles from everybody and then post them all at once at some regular interval in the month. And then later that went on to, we're going to try to have an article that we post every day or a sort of a daily-ish frequency. He also talks about how right after he joined, he missed out on writing the Mega Man 9 review. Paul looks it up and it was Rick L. who got to review it. And then, no, this can't. James, you weren't on the podcast at this time, were you?
No, I think I had probably been there just present, like a little, I messaged on my like break or something at work. And then I know I definitely messaged as I got home, like as I pulled up into the driveway when I got home that night. I started talking in the chat before coming inside for a while, and I was thinking about just going to bed just so that I'd wake up early to join the podcast the following day, but I decided, I didn't feel sleepy yet, so I just, that was, after another couple of minutes, I decided to hop on into voice. So for a while, I'm talking in chat, and then I come into voice just before the blue hour, I believe.
Okay, because what I have written here is possible newsletter for the 25th Game Cola anniversary.
Yeah.
James's idea, less referenced again later in a recorded section of the event.
I think I said, yeah. So I was in voice by that point. I was present for the discussion about when Nathaniel was talking about missing out on the Mega Man 9 review. I was there for that. That might have been just when I joined.
Then I got, I have a message from Quietus Tiger, Quietus Tiger, that just says, yay, 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 yay. I do not remember the context of that.
There was none.
Okay.
It just happened.
Okay. Then I wrote, the gang discusses... one of the things that makes Game Cola unique is that we generally have very collaborative stuff that we do. So instead of sort of individuals trying to push together towards a unified voice for a platform, which I feel is kind of the way that a lot of more serious, professional, more professional maybe than serious, though we are more funny than serious. Mm-hmm. But my point is that in a professional sort of journalism environment, generally that there's an element of removing the individual as much from the publication and having the news source itself have kind of a voice,
mm-hmm.
Just because that's how people end up engaging with that kind of media. But for us, it's because we're not doing this professionally, we can kind of play with it and we can put the personalities front and center a little more clearly. And then that also goes into how we're making content, right? So the clear example of success in this, of course, is the Super Mario Brothers 2 playthrough. One of the things that was interesting that I talked about here is that back in the day, this is like 2009, so YouTube videos had a 10-minute time limit. And because of that 10-minute time limit, the decision was done to do each level as its own video. But then also... we switch between who is playing the game and talking by themselves for each level. So it starts off going between Paul and Franzen and Michael Gray, and then Nathaniel gets put into the rotation around World 4.
Oh, he wasn't present for the whole thing?
I think he doesn't actually come in until World 4.
Interesting. I must confess.
He has a thing that he says. I think he says something to the effect of, like, I didn't realize they were doing it. Like, and again, like, because at this point, I think most communication was happening over Yahoo groups. And so there's this kind of back and forth is in each video, like, Paul and Michael has clearly listened to the video from the other person in the last level before recording their next one. And so they'll respond to each other. And so, and then Nathaniel comes in and says, like, oh, I think he probably just saw that it was happening. He's asked if he could join. They were like, yeah, sure. And so then he does a bit where he's like, you are doing this behind my back. And I think also Nathaniel's video has a bit that I think it's 4-3, which has a bit more traction. I think a combination of there's a secret in 4-3 that Nathaniel shows off that. So I think people are looking for the 4-3 secret specifically, finding that specific video. And then also it's probably early. I think it's one of his first Game Cola videos. And so it's at the top of his like Gemini Laser, which is Nathaniel's other YouTube channel, which where he has his internet famous Mega Man playthroughs, which is how 2/3, I think, of the current people on this podcast ended up finding Game Cola. But that's on that channel, he has a playlist of his Game Cola contributions ordered by the time of recording them. And this 4-3 is at the top of that. So people are going to start on that playlist, get to that video first, and then however many videos they watch, that's where they're going to start. You know, with any series of videos, you're going to get more at the beginning, and then it sort of trails off into the sunset. But we talked about how, like, even though that wasn't an intentional thing, it ended up, that uniqueness ended up having an effect on this series of videos later, because now I feel like most games like that have this one long, there'll be long plays where it's just like one giant video with everything, like with the whole video game, and people are actually searching for help with particular levels. And so that's how our videos end up kind of being served to them. And it seems like it's a interesting relationship, and maybe people keep watching from there. But it's sort of just an example of the manifestation of the unique way that we put things together. I came up with an idea, which I think I maybe talk about later. Oh, and so, sorry, but we were talking about, like, SEO. Daniel Dugovic, longtime Game Cola fan, also mentions, also the commentary covers a variety of topics for Buzzword Bingo. And Anna writes, we love Buzzword Bingo. So I think that's the commentary in all of, particularly in Super Mario Brothers 2, maybe, but I think generally bounces around with a bunch of different topics. Paul talks about, Paul doesn't even just talk about a bunch of different TV shows. He puts episodes, like large chunks. There's like, I feel like there's like half an episode of Mighty Max that he put in an episode that I had to cut out, or they wouldn't let us have the episode be up anymore. I remember getting this notification, and it's like, oh, there's like a, did Paul put like a few seconds of Mighty Max, and it got clipped in. I go, it's like, Paul, this is like half an episode of Mighty Max that you put in this. You can't do that. But my idea, which I want to pitch again, and I think later, based on people's reactions later, I don't think I pitched it exactly right. I want to do Mega Man 7. Mega Man 7 has a different format to the other Mega Man games, where instead of you have 8 bosses to choose from, you can do them in any order. You have a first set of 4 bosses that you can do in any of order with those 4. And then later you have another set of 4 bosses that you do after the first 4, but you can do those 4 in any order. And because of the way that that works out, if you want to have, I wanted to do a playthrough where basically you could, at the end of each episode, you could pick which level you wanted to go to next, and we have a bunch of people record basically every possible configuration of each level so that you can just choose how you go through the game by like picking a level at the end of each episode. I think what people maybe thought I was saying was that like a unique video for every path. But it's not a unique video for every path that you could take through the game. It's a unique video for every possible set of weapon combinations, right? So if you go to Junkman first and Burstman second, and then go to Freezeman third, the Freezeman being third can be the same if you go to Burstman first and Junkman, right? Like, you just have a video where you have Junk Shield and whatever Burst Man's weapon, like Burst Bomb or whatever. Danger Wrap, isn't it? I think it's Danger Wrap. It's one of the weird ones, I think. In any case, you just have a, right? So for level one, for like, take Freeze Man, you just need Freeze Man with 0 weapons, Freeze Man with 1-1-1, right? Like, each having gone to each of the other stages first, and then Freeze Man with each combination of two weapons, and then Freeze Man with the three weapons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
And so that's my pitch for an idea of how to play Mega Man 7 in a collaborative way. So you just have to go through and figure out, okay, like, what is every single combination for each of these? I think it could work. Let me know in the comments if you agree with my great idea. Nathaniel was skeptical, but I don't know if I explained it correctly. Daniel Dugovic said, I like the idea of having dozens of Mega Man videos to handle most boss orderings. And then a very large smiley face, which I don't know was related to that or related to something else that was said.
I mean, it would be cool, and definitely, like, it would be useful, like, in terms of, like, being a, it would be, you know, before we had Let's Plays, we had video walkthroughs, so it was, this is basically that, although, like, how would you start titling these videos? Would it be unlisted and kind of like those choose your own adventure type things people used to do with annotations? Like, how would you structure
it? You would have to think about it, but I think the idea would be to just find some way to format it where you communicate what weapons you have unique to that section, right? So you don't need to put in all of the weapons for the last four, right? Just whichever, for the last four, you just put in whichever weapons, you know, you have that you might not have in a different playthrough.
Oh, that's true, because of the way that the progression. Yeah, because that only works for Mega Man 7 specifically. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, to do it with all the other Mega Man games, it would definitely be too many levels. Every single combination of seven weapons. Just that would be untenable. And then there's an exchange here, which I wrote, I don't know what inspired beyond this back and forth in the chat, beyond a discussion about GameCola.com being our white whale and what we would do if we got it. Daniel Dugovic writes, legally distinct from GameCo, LA.
Yeah, you know, the well-known town of GameCo in Los Angeles. Or, like, not town, yes, of GameCo. Los Angeles is a town, but, like...
Wouldn't that be... Is it... What's Louisiana state abbreviation? Is it LA?
It might be. Hang on.
I've got this pulled up on my... I've got the thing pulled up on my phone. I don't want to lose it.
Louisiana abbreviation is LA. Yeah, so it could be the town of GameCo in Louisiana.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. I don't know if people would do a neighborhood in Louisiana, or
it could be a business in Los Angeles.
I guess. It's very California brand of you, James.
Well, excuse me.
It's almost like you live there.
In Los Angeles? No.
In California.
That's true.
They're right next to each other.
I like how that implies that Los Angeles is not California.
I know. I was wondering if you would pick up on that. Nathaniel typed hee hee, and I responded via the Game Cola account. That's our backup business, actually. Then we talk about the longevity of the Game Cola podcast, because it's been around since 2009. James asks in the YouTube chat, have we considered... Oh, do you want to...
No, I was...
Have, please.
I was just confused. Now I'm confused about the timeline of events, because I thought I was already there in person in voice.
I'm also confused about this, because...
Maybe I was still only in... Well, actually, hang on a minute. Yeah, because the newsletter hour...
Did you hopped on temporarily?
Yeah, because the opening ceremony... So the first hour, hour zero, was entirely when I was at work. So I could not possibly have been in voice until the newsletter hour began.
The blue hour but says I probably... it had Blue, Paul, and Anna, but...
Yeah.
So if it started with Anna and not you, and then you were there for the rest of it, I think you came on, like, right after that started.
Yeah, maybe... This must have been parts that I was listening to in the car ride home. Because it's a very short car ride home, but I think I got off of work at around 10:30 that night. So I probably was listening actively to the second half of the newsletter hour, and then I probably got home just before 11 o'clock. So I was probably, like, so these comments here are probably, like, I had just arrived home and I was messaging either from in the house or in my car in my driveway. This is probably what these chat posts are. Anyway.
Yeah. Could you do you have the document pulled up, James?
Yes, I do. So I was saying that, have we considered submitting Game Cola to the Guinness Book of World Records for longest continuously running gaming podcast? And you said that you had looked into it, and it's like, we're technically
we are very much not the longest running. There's still the Giant Bomb podcast is the one that, comes to mind. And then I wrote here, because live I was talking about, I'm pretty sure Giant Bomb was before us. And then I wrote in an editor's note on this bit. The Giant Bomb podcast seems to have started around early 2008, February, according to the RSS feed. It already had over 50 episodes by the time Game Cooler released its first episode for January 2009. There are a couple other, I looked into this some more later, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there are a couple more contenders. So it's not just the Giant Bomb podcast. There are a couple other ones that are still going strong. And also they have more of a weekly cadence. So there are also way more episodes than ours. Some of them are in the thousands at this point. Let's see what else. And then we talked about how, like, when you go to the oldest podcasts, that gets murkier because there are actually a few radio shows that sort of had a transitionary area where they would upload episodes of the radio show as podcasts, effectively. And then later, as maybe radio stopped being commercially viable for them, they just sort of became podcasts full time. And so where do you draw the line there? But, like, so there, if you take the most generous version of that argument, you could have podcasts that started in the 90s. Then we talk about, like, the music media players of early podcasting, which causes James to mention.
As I was saying, yes, the iPod, because it holds many pods that have been cast.
Mm-hmm. At this point, noted that I'm going to need to stay up longer than I had initially planned to. We're ending this second hour, the newsletter hour. But Blue and Jetty are going to are sort of like the hosts of the next few hours, but there's no one to join them for some of them. Someone suggests that I actually take a nap during this next upcoming hour.
Yeah, Jetty told you to go to sleep.
I don't think Jetty was awake at this point.
Right. Oh, maybe it was Paul.
That have been Paul. Right. Someone had a good idea that I should take a nap during the next hour, because there would still be some people around for Blue to talk to during the next hour, which is the Blue hour. And so that way I could at least not be completely sleep deprived. I do think it did end up helping me get a little bit further through, though. I was, you'll see later, I was really struggling near the end of my time alone with Jetty. And so I agree to do that. Before we move on to the next section, I feel like I didn't write it down here, but we did talk a bit about newsletters in general, and I want to see if we can kind of rekindle that discussion. Where I was sort of thinking that it feels like newsletters are kind of making a comeback, especially with I think it sort of got started a bit with platforms like Patreon, where what people would do is they'd have their main content that they would want to fund with a site like Patreon, where people could sort of donate monthly or per project, though it ended up being easier for it to just be a monthly contribution, even if it was someone who's like would produce something on less than a month. It's just like financially you need to know how much you're making each month in a predictable way. And so one of the early perks that people found that they could sort of manage would be, oh, well, you know, I want to make my content public to everybody, but perhaps I will write posts on updates on what I'm working on Patreon. And those will be available just to backers. And I think that became sort of a proto typical version of the resurgence of well, just the paid newsletter in general, or a newsletter with some public and some private things. And so platforms like Substack is the other big one that I know of now. But also just like email newsletters, I think, just free email newsletters, though the free ones are more like advertisements, I think, in some ways. Like you'll get political candidate newsletters. A lot of political writers have newsletters now. And so I was just wondering, like, you know, is there a way to take the best parts of that newsletter resurgence and sort of integrate it into GameCola, sort of as an echo of the way things used to be? I don't have any concrete ideas for this, but it was a thought that I wanted to put out there at the time. I don't know if anybody remembers any of their thoughts about what I was saying.
I didn't have enough like experience with Substack or anything to really speak on that at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if I really have too much to comment on that either, because, yeah, I think I would have...
Yeah, you're just like, they're making a comeback, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I don't really have any familiarity with that kind of thing, unfortunately.
That's fair. I am sure, knowing me, I will bring up this idea again.
Yeah.
At some point. So it's not as if the discussion is lost forever, but and maybe I talk about it later in this 24-hour thing, too. We'll see. But anyway, we now move on to the Blue Hour, an hour of fun hosted by Blue Rider, which, as you may be able to guess, that is how I titled everybody. Everybody had their own dedicated hour, all of the sort of main GameCola people. And by main, I just mean people who show up on like more than two podcasts a year.
Yeah,
is sort of my baseline criteria for that. So Blue, this was Blue's hour. I was asleep at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to add myself to the list of people because I was definitely here for this hour.
Yeah, I think it started with
the cursed vegetable. Well,
hold on. Don't get. You're skipping ahead. You're going too far. Stop, hold on. So Blue, I've been talking a lot, but I legitimately cannot talk a lot about this section because I was asleep. I passed out pretty much immediately, which is a rarity for me. But I some part of my brain knew I needed this sleep. So, Blue, I'll give you the floor for your hour as you had it before.
Okay, so it started with Paul and Anna and I in call together, and I don't remember what we talked about, to be honest. You'll have to ask them because I remember them like asking me questions, but I don't remember. Oh, we talked about how, nope, I'm thinking of a few hours later after I woke up. Never mind.
On the document, it says started discussing superhero games with Paul.
So maybe Anna wasn't even there at all, actually.
No, Anna was still present, because Anna's in the comments of some of these Discord posts.
Yeah, she was.
I think Anna's still around.
She just wasn't
on. May not have had much to say.
Maybe.
About superhero games.
I don't know. I don't know
if I had much to say about
thought
that.
I was remembering from like when I woke up few hours later after the waking up with GameCola hour, I was with Paul and Anna again, or I don't know, so yeah, I just remembered that part. But we talked about superhero games. I don't remember how we started that, or maybe I was just like, hey, I know I listened to your podcast, we're working on a superhero dating sim, and
You're referring to a podcast.
Yes, the a podcast
which is Paul and Michael's podcast about playing games and making games, as their tagline says.
Yeah, I asked if they were still working on it, and said if they ever need a consultant that I was up for it. And then
the superhero dating sim.
Yeah.
Which then, I do have vague recollections of now that you mention it.
And then we started talking about Anna's Mash Maker, and Paul provided photos from his dedicated Food with Faces folder, which is a thing that he has, and he just said that, and that's a real thing.
And so we have, Paul posted some of these in the Discord. And if you were a listener, even if you were on the video, right, watching the video of the live stream at this point, you would not have gotten to see these images. So you're not missing much of that experience, though. If you do watch the YouTube video or look at the PDF yourself, you will get to see these images. Does anyone want to take a crack at describing these,
or there's remember a little
the context?
There's a little potato guy being held by between Paul's thumb and finger, I believe.
He's friend shaped.
It's friend shaped. It's got a little head and a little eye socket looking divots, and it's got a spiky bit of the potato poking out
it's
of
like
the top.
Stem.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's poking out of the top like a little hairdo, and then he's got little bumps on his shoulders like they're tiny little hands, and he's waving for joy. Mm-hmm. And there's the center mass, and it has nipples, I guess. I don't know.
I was curious if you were going to address...
I don't really know what else to say about that.
I mean, that's all you can say.
Anna described it as suave, so...
Suave potato.
Well, I think suave potato, because Anna writes, that's suave potato.
Okay.
And I think that may be a candidate for one of the... So it may have been that Paul was saying, hey, we could use some of these fruits with... food with faces images that I have for Mashmaker, the dating sim.
And then next he sent a picture of a pepper that was too hot to handle.
That's a good way to describe it.
We noted that it is a particularly curvaceous pepper, and it is an hour too early because the after dark hour was after the blue hour. So bringing that out then was too early. And then there is... a carrot I guess it's like two carrots conjoined, and it looks like Fancy Pants Adventure Pants.
Oh my gosh, yes, Fancy Pants Adventures. Oh wow, that's a throwback.
I'm glad that that landed, because that's... yeah. And then they... fired each other, Anna and Paul.
Yeah, so Anna and Paul are this is from the YouTube chat that's been preserved.
Yeah, so I think Anna was off the mic at this point, and we were talking about various bits of Mashmaker, and then I don't know how Anna was being hazed, but that was the accusation, and then they tried to fire each other, and then neither of them let the other, and then there's a bunch of emojis. And I don't know what any of that means. So.
Paul writes at the end, thumbs down emoji.
In text.
Which it wasn't. It's words. He's lying. That's why he should be fired first. So after that, I asked the two of them, not Paul and Anna, but Paul and James, I asked them how they go about suggesting games to people, because I find it really important to suggest games that people will like, so that when I have a very good game to suggest to them, they will believe me, and... because I feel really bad about thrusting blueprints onto James, who it seemed like he did not enjoy it. But then James talked about how he goes about things and said that he did not hate blueprints and that he might head back to it.
Yeah, it's Yeah, so it wasn't that I disliked the game or anything, and I might even just repeat exactly what I said before. So it's just that the game did not hook me. I tried to play through it. I didn't really understand what I was getting into. I saw what was presented to me on the face of it. The game said, "Hey, here's the first thing you should try to do is get to this, you know, the first little room." Not like, I forget if it was like the antechamber or whatever it was, but it was basically you're supposed to get to this spot on the end of this little map that we've drawn out for you. And I, after a couple attempts, you know, an hour or two, I got there, and it just didn't let me into the room for some reason. Like, I had a doorway facing towards the room, but it was just a solid wall. And so at that point, I went, clearly I'm either doing something wrong or I'm not, you know, I'm not understanding something. And
it does not actually tell you to go there specifically.
I thought it said, you know, the first thing you should try to do is reach this place.
No, it's I think it says you're supposed to reach the 46th room, which
right,
is different
than... Right, but it says,
than
but to start the... with, just try reaching such and such room.
Oh, said. Maybe. Sorry.
Then it marks it specifically on the map for you. It specifically marks this room as, like, to give you a short-term goal. And I got to that point, and the doorway leading into it just walked into a solid wall, and it wouldn't let me in. And I was like, well, I don't... there's no, you know, I was approaching the room from the side rather than the bottom, but, like, you can approach rooms from all sides, and I figured, well, surely they would account for that, right? They would have, if I needed to approach the room from the bottom, you know, I figured that they would have told me something like that. So I just figured, all right, clearly I'm not getting, I'm not understanding something, I'm not doing something right. And so I put it down for the day, and I just kind of never picked it back up, presumably because, you know, being, you know, having ADHD, I found something else that captured my attention. And then I just, and this, because I say that not just to excuse myself, but because this is a thing that happens with lots of games, including games that I enjoy very much. I will, like, get 80% of the way through a game and be loving it, and then play a different game the next day and then never return to the previous one. Like, it just happens to me.
ADHD as well, I can confirm.
Yeah. So that's what it was.
So the bad news is I did lie to you about the antechamber then, I guess. But the good news is that I am forgetting stuff about the game, which means I can more... It'll be more fun to go back and play it.
Yeah, and I will return to it at some point. It's just a matter of, you know, especially right now, as of the time of recording this now, I have multiple games which I am very engaged in that are going to be taking up my time. So I will get back to it, and I will try and get back to it at some point, and I will let you know what I uncover, because clearly it sounds to me like there is some deeper significance to this game that I have just not uncovered yet or not understood yet. And then at some point, clearly, I also need to go back and play The Outer Wilds, because that is another game I have not finished, but that I just didn't think I fully undergrasped the significance of. But
undergrasped?
I
have to go back and
understood
the
and grasped. Undergrasped. It's a bad portmanteau.
Port bad toe.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Resident good.
Resident good.
So after we talked about that, I also just said that maybe it might not be a game that is in his wheelhouse, and that would be okay too.
Yeah.
If that ends up being what happens.
Yeah. And like, I puzzle games don't always really grab, like, you introduced me to Lorelei and the Laser Eyes as well, and I enjoyed that game, but once again, exact same thing happened. That I played it for several hours, you know, maybe even, it might have even been a couple of play sessions, and then I just happened to catch my interest in something else and never came back to it. So, it happens too much for me.
Yeah. Man, that was a good game. But it is a very simple story told in a very complex way, is how my friend put it. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. So it's a interesting experience, but not like earth-shattering necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, after we finished talking about that, I hit them with some real serious questions, or just one.
Mm-hmm. But hard-hitting philosophical, even, perhaps, as I'm reading it here in the document. Mm-hmm.
That is what it says. I asked about what extent to what extent can large companies benefit from fan interaction, and how much can true freedom and meaning be reclaimed from brands when used in self-expression? So, like, every time you buy a piece of merch for, like, your favorite franchise, that is sort of you, like, consuming and wearing that brand with you wherever you put it. And so I was interested in whether that meant that it would always be sort of the brand dominating that specific interaction, or if there was there was value outside of that the brand could not, like, overtake. Because it was something that I had been thinking about for a while. And I think James and Paul both gave some pretty good answers.
Mm-hmm. If I may.
Yeah.
So I was basically...
No, actually, I want to recap this part.
Right, go for it, Joe. Yeah, you got this.
No, I'll do Paul. Okay. I'll do Paul.
So I was basically saying, in my opinion, that if a fan has bought... Or if anyone has bought merchandise, or, you know, whether that's from a content creator, from a media franchise, or even just a store that they went, you know, like you can buy, you know, here in California, we have like In-N-Out Burger. You can buy merchandise from In-N-Out Burger, which is just a fast food restaurant, in my opinion, but particularly with like media franchises. If you've bought something, it must have a greater significance to you than just the thing itself. That the thing that you have bought has to have some kind of greater meaning to you. Otherwise, it would have no monetary value. Like, why would you pay money to give a company free advertising? Like, it's not even free advertising. It's negative money advertising that you are paying out of pocket to advertise something else. And I feel like the only, like, I'm not to say that there aren't, you know, some people who would do that for some reason. I cannot fathom why. But I, in my opinion, most people are getting merchandise, etc., for things because there is some inherent value to those things, to them, that they are a fan of. Either you just like their food and you're like, hey, check out this place, I like their food. You know, In-N-Out Burger has good food, you could say. That could be what you're trying to get across by buying it. And it's like, did the company pay you to say that? No, but like, you might still think that. You know, if you got particularly good service from a place that you visited, like, you might still want to praise that. You might want to say this was good. And, you know, going back to media, if you played a video game that was super fun, you might want to buy merchandise to spread your enthusiasm about this game that you played, or this TV show that you watched, or this movie that you saw, or this book that you read to other people. And there is, like, that is a pretty significant thing to do, to buy merchandise, to effectively become a walking billboard for this thing. And I feel like that is a sign that to some degree, at least to that person, there is much greater value, you know, beyond simply just shilling for something, if that makes sense. So yeah, so there must be some kind of intrinsic value to these things for for the market for merchandise to even exist. Like, I'm sure that what was that horrible movie? Well, I mean that doesn't narrow it down much. the vampire movie,
Twilight,
Morbius,
yes. Twilight. Well, yeah, Twilight sold a lot of merch. Goodness gracious. But yeah, Twilight and Morbius. Like, even though Morbius was like a commercial failure, and like generally speaking, it was terrible. And so it's like you're not gonna buy that shirt because you think it was amazing, but like you would at least buy it because there is intrinsic value to you of, you know, I think this was funny. So it doesn't even necessarily be that you have to enjoy the thing that you're getting merch of, technically, which is like that's almost like a weird way to turn this, but like generally speaking I like the positive sentiment of you buy merchandise for something not because you intend to just give them free advertising, but because you are genuinely enthusiastic about that thing. It's the same reason that we have a video game podcast. Like, we are giving, you know, we talk for hours on end about the games that we're playing and the things that we like, not because we're trying to get some sort of compensation for it, but because it's just something we generally enjoy and we like expressing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, I've often thought about the relationship between, like, what is our podcast? What function does our podcast serve in like that media landscape? And I do think that is a balance. There, like, I do appreciate and basically agree with your sort of positive vision of it, of this relationship in like its best form. I think as someone who has more responsibility for thinking about, like, I want to make sure that the podcast is a platform for our expression of video games and not a sort of secondary or tertiary echo of like advertisement media, right? So I've, like, one of the things I've noticed was, like, as the frequency of Nintendo Directs started increasing, I started realizing, like, man, these are becoming like more, because we have this monthly cadence, it feels like we're spending a lot of time just going over what is effectively a Nintendo advertisement. And so I have, like, sort of, even though I like a lot of Nintendo games, I have sort of consciously pulled back on being like, I want to make sure that I'm not just saying things because, oh, this is a news thing and I'm going to repeat the news thing in the hopes of getting clicks. Even if that wasn't, like, overtly what I was thinking, I think that pattern of call and response of how a video goes up and is interacted with and searched for and talked about kind of pushes you in that direction.
But even then,
like, being intentional about that relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like, going back and post and realizing, hey, I want to modify this relationship now that I've seen how it's being expressed. And I also have particularities about my relationship with, like, merchandise and things. Like, I have little Mega Man figures. And, like, some of those are just, like, I like looking at the Mega Man amiibo on my desk. Right? But then, like, I've never been big on t-shirts as merch. That, to me, and I'm not saying people are that, because I think people can pull it off. It's just whenever I do it, I feel like a walking billboard. And not even just as like, oh, I'm advertising this thing. It's just like, imagine if you were in fact a billboard. That would be an odd thing to be, right? It doesn't feel like it's communicating character. It just, to me, the way that it ends up coordinating with my vibe, it just looks like an advertisement with no depth. And also, like, usually when I get a merch, it's because I like at least looking at the thing. Mm-hmm. And if it's on my shirt,
it's hard to look at.
It is a suboptimal viewing experience for myself. I can still see it, but it's not presented in the way, things aren't put on your t-shirt for you to see them as they are meant to be.
If they were, it would be rather narcissistic. Because
there's a phrase you may be familiar with, commonly referred to as upside down,
or horizontally mirrored, so that if you look at yourself in a mirror, it will look correct.
Yeah.
Either way, that would be very narcissistic, because it would mean that you and only you can read the t-shirt under normal circumstances.
To be fair, I do think that would be a very funny t-shirt. Like, this text is for me, not for you. You write it upside down.
Why are that you is... reading this? Oh, to be a billboard.
And then to talk for Paul, Paul discusses that he agrees, but if he were ever to get a tattoo, it would be a pair of Mickey Mouse ears, and he has very conflicted feelings about having Disney brand iconography permanently put on his body.
So he has conflicted feelings, and yet, if he were to ever get a tattoo, he knows for certain that that's what it would be, despite that fact.
We'll also say that this is a written recording, a written record of someone's remembering what Paul said. Right? So it may be slightly different to what he actually
remember
thinks.
I think what was said was he was sort of quoting himself. He was saying, "I have always said that if I were to ever get a tattoo, it would be a pair of Mickey Mouse ears. However, I have very conflicting feelings." So he's saying that Disney in particular, he has conflicting feelings about putting, iconography of that. I think that was sort of what was said.
Yeah, that sounds right. But then that doesn't really matter, because what he actually said for real and is the most important part is that he said that the Blue Hour has been the best hour yet. And that's what really is important about the Game Cola 24-hour live stream.
If we think about one of the main differences between this hour and the other hours, there's something conspicuous here that I maybe need to have a chat with Paul about.
It's that it's my hour and no one else's.
I was thinking more about who was not present for this hour in particular.
Anna, he was arguing with Anna. Like, he fired Anna.
This is also around the time where I wake back up, so it wasn't a full hour of sleep. And I say my goodbyes to everybody who is still on as we get ready for the final hour that we will be covering in this chunk that you are receiving in your ears and maybe your eyes. Gaming After Dark, which is just Blue and me at this point. Everybody else has gone to bed. Late night gaming chats about topics only allowed after dark. After Dark is in caps for this little subtitle. James is also still listening at this point, though. So, like, it isn't just, like, practically speaking, there's interaction with James as we're talking.
Briefly.
Here.
I think this is around when I think I go to bed partway through this hour.
Mm-hmm. But so, like, apparently one of the first things we start talking about is the time difference. Like, how the time difference is affecting Blue and myself. Right? For me, it's shortly after 3 a.m. For Blue, it's about 1 a.m. And James says, correct, midnight here. Probably us talking about the West Coast.
Yep.
That's just a fact. I don't know if you even nearly needed that recap. We're probably aware of how time zone works.
This just gives you some context for the state of mind that we're all in.
Yeah. So, Blue, you had some trepidations about this hour.
I was like, okay, so what is it? Because we have a pepper ready if that's what it's supposed to be. It's a very curvaceous pepper.
My response was, I basically came up with the name more than I came up with the premise. I was like, what's a good name for an episode for a segment on a 24-hour live stream at 3 a.m. Eastern time? Gaming After Dark is what I came up with. So James writes, gaming outside the light stream.
Yeah, because it's now dark.
Mm-hmm. So as I struggle to find things for us to actually talk about in this hour that I have so cleverly named, the first thing I asked is if anybody has ever pulled an all-nighter playing video games.
The answer is yes.
Blue, you had you talked about a couple of times that you had done that.
Yeah, I'd often play Lord of the Rings Conquest with my best friend all night, because it had, like, a playlist feature and, like, a bunch of different game modes and maps and stuff. And so you could just put select all on the playlist, and it'd be, like, 15 hours of game. That was a good game. I missed that one. But then we sort of divided it further, because there's nights where we pulled all-nighters because we just couldn't sleep, rather than because we were intentionally doing it. And then, like, ones where we would be frustrated with not being able to sleep and go play games, or there were all-nighters where we were too invested in a game to pull ourselves away and go to sleep. And yeah, both of those have happened to me. In fact, since this, since the live stream, I think the first one has happened to me a couple times. So
the first one being?
Just couldn't sleep and decided to go play a game. In fact, last night is, I slept about an hour, I think. And yeah. So I'm looking.
What's your, I talk about this later for myself, but what's your, like, hour where it's like, if you're not asleep at this point, you just decide you're not sleeping?
It depends on, because I don't always feel the same way at the hour, so sometimes it's like 4 and I'm like, I guess I am up. And sometimes it's like 1 a.m. and I just have a lot of energy and I know I'm gonna at least be a few more hours, so I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I'll go do something and see if I reevaluate in a few hours, a couple hours, and see if I can push through tomorrow all the way, or if I'm going to collapse for a while.
Yeah, I have a pretty consistent limit of, if I'm not even close to being asleep and it's 5 a.m.,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Absolutely.
That's my limit. So, James, you mentioned AGDQ most recently as an example of an all-nighter for you.
That was not a pleasant experience for me. I mean, as you can imagine. So, basically, the last day of AGDQ, you know, I had gotten up. I had been very sick previously, but I was really starting to feel better by sort of the penultimate day. And so the final day, I woke up probably 9, 10 o'clock. I was still thrown off because, we're on the East Coast, so I'm not used to the time zone and all that. But, I watched that whole day of the event through, and then it goes really, really long into the final event. The final game was Pokemon Emerald, where the donations decide what this person's solo main is. And naturally, despite having a lot of, like, sort of backup strategies, it was even like a ROM hack specifically with tools to bump the level of his Pokemon to that of the highest level of the next gym leader's team. As well as a move that basically would give the Pokemon, if it had no good moves at that level, it would just give it one move that was like 50 power neutral type or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was running really, really long. And I wanted to stay up to see the finale, just see the event close out and have them, because they give a speech and everything at the end. But I had a flight scheduled for like 5 a.m. So we're running into like 2 o'clock. So I needed to go back to my room, pack up, and then go catch my taxi to the airport, because you're supposed to, show up like 2 hours prior. And I don't really travel much, so I did not, really. In hindsight, I was through security in 10 minutes because, of course, it's 3 in the morning. Who is going to be going at the airport at that time? The problem is that because of how much medicine I had been taking for being sick, I was starting to get, like, dizzy and nauseous. So I had to take Dramamine, like, motion sickness pills, which were, like, which kept me up. So at the very least, I wasn't motion sick on the plane ride, but I was basically not able to sleep on the plane ride home. And then once I got home, it was 9 a.m. because I'm flying west, so I make up time. And so it's like, if I go to sleep now that I'm home, my sleep schedule is going to be completely thrown off by almost 12 hours. So instead, I had to stay up for the rest of the day and then go to sleep that night. And so it was basically 24 hours plus an additional 12 hours of the next day that I was staying up. And that level of sleep deprivation is extremely weird feeling and unpleasant.
It is very interesting. Like, you really do just immediately start to go clinically, like, insane. Like, yeah. There's nothing. It's like, it is literally the exact same thing. The way that the brain works is, like, it needs to be able to do certain things at night. And the symptoms of not sleeping for, like, a day or two are, like, basically, in some ways, almost indistinguishable from people with, like, chronic mental health issues.
Yeah.
Like, you do just actually kind of start going crazy. Yeah.
I fortunately...
In a, like, very... Not, like, as a joke. Like, as a very specific description of what your brain is doing.
Yeah. Like, I think generally I was just, like, very disoriented. Like, I felt terrible. Like... Physically, I felt awful. I felt like I had no energy. And that was even after, like, in order to not, like, pass out at that point, I drank a little bit, just a little bit of coffee, just to, like, keep my schedule somewhat synced up with what it should be. And so I just kind of sat there just, like, watching YouTube videos. And I was awake, but I was not awake. I was completely just checked out. I was conscious but not present. It's almost like an out-of-body experience is what it was like for me. An out-of-body experience except you are constantly physically feeling terrible at the same time. So you are very much in your body and aware of how awful you feel, but you're also just mentally not there. It's exceptionally strange, and I would not ever want to do that again willingly.
But you would want to do it unwillingly?
No, I think by definition, that's not the case.
But you said you don't want to do it willingly.
But unwillingly so implies that, that I don't want to do it.
But why would you clarify, right? Why would you not just say I don't want to do it?
Because I forgot that Joseph Martin is on the podcast.
To clarify that willingly he was asleep would at suggest the wheel. That without the clarification, it wouldn't be fully descriptive of how you feel. And the only way to interpret that is that you would want to do it unwillingly. So you would want to be forced to do it, but you would not want to choose to do it. These are the words you've chosen to say, James. This is not my fault.
No, I'm going to say that it is your fault, Joe. I'm going to blame you.
For my all-nighter stories, I say, like, I don't usually end up playing video games in these situations. The most memorable version of this that I can remember was the time where I couldn't go to sleep, and so I decided to watch two movies. One, which I wasn't sure which Anchorman it was, but it's definitely Anchorman 2, I wrote in the editor's note. Specifically the director's cut, because I think it was also very long on, like, Hulu or whatever it was that I was watching on it at the time. This was a very long time ago. And the thing I remember the most about it was that basically the director's cut was there were these moments throughout the movie where very clearly had been like, okay, this happens, and then someone, like, improv something, and we just see if it's funny. And so what they did, like, they did multiple takes with that, and then in the director's cut, they just put all of the different improv attempts in one after the other. So, like, the pacing was so weird because something would happen, there'd be an improv joke, and then there it would, like, the pacing would, like, revert back And then there would be another improv joke. And then would kind of revert back. And then there'd be another improv joke. And they tried to cut it, I think, in a way so that it wasn't so obvious that that was what was happening in terms of, like, you could find a way to rationalize how these events would happen one after the other. But it was, like, one setup and then three punchlines. And it was very surreal to experience this while moving into sleep deprivation. The other movie I watched, which Blue asked, why would I do such a thing, was the Alpha and Omega movie about wolves, which I guess you had, did you know what I was talking about?
Yeah.
When I said that, Blue?
Yeah, okay. The animated movie, right?
Yes. I watched it because I was pretty sure it was going to be bad. And I was tweeting live at the time, which of course now, as I mentioned then and now, is an illegal thing to do. But at the time, it was not illegal. And so I was live tweeting this.
Is that true? What?
What?
It was... I'm just not... I need Diana to help me with the...
Which part of this are you finding hard to believe?
That it was legal to... I'm tired.
To tweet?
No, to... Did you?
Because that's what I was talking about.
I'm so confused.
I'm saying now it is illegal.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said something about torrenting it, which is piracy, no. And that was legal. And then you would tweet about it.
No.
You tweeted about how you torrented it because it was legal to torrent it. And I was like, that does not make sense.
Tweet.
I see. Sorry. But I did get one.
No, I'm pretty sure I watched this on like Hulu, right? The other reason I picked whatever I picked was because it was available on whatever streaming that makes, service I had access to.
That's what I read originally assumed.
I do say that there's some games that I stay up too late playing, like Pokemon Showdown, which I've talked about all the time. But it's so easy to just do like, oh, just one more game. Just one more game. And then with Balatro, which I've been playing recently and have continued to play since, there were a couple nights early on where I was staying up a little bit too late, doing runs of Balatro, but thankfully that has sort of evened out into a more healthy relationship, for the pace of how much and when I am playing that game. And then I talk about it more later in the podcast, so we don't need to talk about it that much more here. And then you, Blue, asked me about Pokemon Sleep. Yeah. Which is relevant, I guess, to the theming. And yeah, I said I only really wanted to do it that one year for it. And I probably wouldn't have kept doing it as long as I did if it wasn't something that I could talk about on the podcast. But like, it didn't really have that good of an effect on my sleeping habits because it kind of just necessitates that the last thing you do is look at your phone for a little bit as you set up all the stuff for the sleep. And then so it's really like Pokemon Sleep is just, oh yes, we want Pokemon to be the last thing you think about when you go to bed and the first thing you think about when you wake up. And then, the next bit that we talk about, sort of the other version of gaming after dark, which is video games with mature themes, which, I wrote that I segue to, which is an interesting thing to write in a document. I don't know if that needed to be clarified. Blue, you apparently still think that the name is confusing and non-specific.
Yeah, that happened.
James Wright, Game Cola After Hours, as if to say that James thinks that he could come up with better titles for segments than his podcast commander can. Hmm? Nothing to say for yourself,
no,
James?
No, I'm remaining silent. I know better.
Oh, right. So I started off by talking about how we've kind of avoided a bad future that we see. It felt like we were trending towards at a certain point where parents were like, they shouldn't make M-rated games because I might buy one for my child because I can't pay attention to the giant letter on it to tell me that I shouldn't buy this for my child and therefore they shouldn't make it.
Yep.
But we seem to have avoided that. Probably because people don't buy games in person as much, like, in the store.
Yeah.
And so, like, all of the M-rated games can kind of live in that space. And so it the pressure there isn't as strong. And it's more, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly how. I guess part of it, too, right, is if, like, the people that parents would come to complain to would be, like, the people at the front desks of the GameStop, right? If they bought a mature game for their kid and then realized it was a mature game. They said, you shouldn't have let me buy this, and this shouldn't even be a thing. And now I think if you accidentally buy a mature game for your child on, like, a digital storefront, then there's not really the same, like, way to complain, you know? Like, there's not a person that they go up to and talk and, like, yell at, yeah. Right? And so maybe that sort of changed the dynamic. I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's a vibe that I'm having in this particular moment. James, you called those people bad parents.
I did.
I'm just saying, because that's a thing that's written here. So your comment is forever entombed in this PDF. Let's see. And then I talk about the distinction between wanting it to be allowed to cover and mature and potentially disturbing topics in the medium of video games, right? So, like, that's a thing, right? Of, like, a theme not to be off of the table just because it's in a video game, right? Oh, you can't talk about this mature thing in a video game. But that doesn't also mean that you can't say, like, if you're going to do this, there's a certain expectation that I have that you treat the subject with a relevant amount of care and attention. And then we segue from that. I think there may have been a couple steps in between this, but we segue into Horses, particularly because I know that is a game that Blue has played.
Yeah, that's a good game.
And you mentioned specifically that you think when it comes to, like, handling the theme, the mature themes responsibly, that you feel like Horses generally does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I think it became a lesser game through the censorship. And I under, like, the censored thing was a typically bad thing, but it wasn't for what people jump to, I guess, or I don't know. There was a purpose, and it was an artistic choice that worked and was also avoiding the egregious version that people made up for it, I guess.
And then James, if you would like to add your final comment here.
I was basically just saying it would be a devastating tragedy if we could not explore mature and complex themes through any medium, including video games. Like, generally speaking, like, it's, I don't know.
And that is the end of what we wrote down. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say that's about all I can, like, easily say on it. Because, again, it's complex. It's a complex discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially maybe a little too complex for this sort of recycled recap version.
Even for me, I was like, I don't know how much it's like, I don't even know how much I could coherently come up with on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something like, that's a thing that I could have an opinion on, but it might just be an opinion that I can only know in my head, and I don't have the words to adequately express. I don't know. Just because it's like, sometimes it's hard to say exactly how you feel about something. You just feel like words aren't enough. And this is like, this is a really, really nuanced topic, and I don't want to potentially say the wrong, you know, like, when I say the wrong thing, I mean, like, say something that I don't quite mean.
Yeah, say something that doesn't actually accurately communicate what you believe. Yeah. On that note, this is the last thing in the document. I don't know if we talked about anything more. I feel like this certainly covered. I mean, is there anything in these first hours in general that you feel like we didn't cover that didn't get put in this document?
No, we covered that. No.
I don't know if we talked on this podcast about it. But I know it was also mentioned regarding the newsletter thing, which was just, I think it was talked about in the Paul and Jetty show number 2, about how they would just like leave Game Cola open on like school computers and stuff. Like they just open up the page and then just walk away from the shared computer to just leave it up. Oh. or like they would put up like flyers with those little, you know, rip off little strips saying like GameCola.com or not .com, it's .net. So anyway, that was all the other details I remember. But yeah, I would also just mention that yeah, I would love it to do a to give a return to the newsletter format for the 25th anniversary, because I feel like, you know, I feel like that would be a very fitting time to sort of give a little homage to our roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now I'm so focused on finally getting this 200 thing like finished as a complete product, so that it can just exist, and then I can think about the next thing.
Yep.
But now that we've reached the end of our recap, I'm going to tell you, dear listener, about what you have in store for the rest of Podcast 200. So we've covered the first 4 hours in our recap here. The next hour that you'll be listening to will be the clip show hour. So this was at 4 a.m. Eastern time. This was the hour I picked. Was like, okay, nobody's going to be awake. This is a good time to do a handoff. So Blue and Jetty do a handoff sort of during this hour. And this actually technically the live feed of this was lost, but since it was just a video and audio that I gave to Blue to play, it just still exists on my computer.
I want
to
see it at some point, because I was uploaded. Sleeping for it. I never got to see it, at all.
Yeah, so it'll come up after this. And then each episode, the way for the rest of the live episodes that we were able to save, I think my plan for right now, I may change this based on how long it takes, but my plan for the YouTube version, it's just going to be a straight up like slice of the video live stream, so that you can sort of see what was on the video at the same time. So it'll be at that same live pace. It won't be the edited down version that you're used to for the podcast, where I cut out all the dead air, and there will probably be a decent portion of dead air, especially in those earlier hours where I am losing my mind a little bit. For the actual podcast feed, since there aren't the visuals to sort of keep your eyes paying attention to, there's not like a connection there, I will go down and edit out some of the dead air and hopefully make it a bit of a cleaner listening experience. So you can get either version depending on your preference. So that's the plan. So for the next hours, I will say, so after waking up with Game Cola, we will have the Jetty Hour, an hour of fun hosted by Alex Jedrzak. Gaming Outside the Mainstream, all about gaming outside the mainstream and what it means to us and Game Cola. I'm just reading the taglines as I had them written in the live stream description here. The Off-Topic Hour, an hour dedicated to all the non-video game stuff we seem to find ourselves talking about. The Topic Pile Hour, finally knocking off some more topics off of the topic pile. The John Hour, an hour of fun hosted by what I wrote here. I forgot that I accidentally wrote John Rizzo instead of John Rizzi. The Swan Song Games Hour, which is an hour dedicated to the final games of great consoles. This was an hour that John pitched, so he hosts that one. Anna Hour, an hour of fun hosted by Anna Bernarski. The Debate Hour, fighting ourselves with our most controversial gaming opinions. Everyone Is Here, the hour with the most people available and surely the most to talk about. I don't remember writing some of these. I was very cheery, apparently. The Game Dev Hour, this was James's idea, a discussion of personal experience in game development amongst the cast. The James Hour, an hour of fun hosted by James Pelster. Choose Your Own Adventure. Blue takes us through a mystery Choose Your Own Adventure book.
That was great.
The Joseph Hour, an hour of fun hosted by Joseph Martin.
That one was terrible.
Wait a minute. Game Cola Trivia. How much do you know your stuff about Game Cola? The Best Video Game Tournament. Which game can you defend to the very end? The Recap Hour, which now in retrospect...
This is kind of a recap hour.
Yeah, but so taking stock of all we've accomplished so far as we begin to come to a close, the game Cold Faithful Hour, time for super fans to call in. That was also a really fun moment. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
And then closing ceremonies, our final thoughts and thanks, and a celebration of all the podcasts to come. And for you, the podcast is still to come. So thank you for listening to this condensed recap of the first 4 hours of the live stream. You will now be handed over to the clip show hour, and then all of the hours following after that, you'll get to hear me wake up with Jetty, waking up with Game Cola. It included me waking up with Game Cola. And in the meantime, we will see you in our more current format later, after all of the podcast 200 episodes are out. All right. Well, on to the clip show, starting now.